Let's move away from love and soulmates for a moment and talk about fate in general. Take astrology, please. Plenty of people believe that there's something in the way the stars line up in the galaxy that affects their day. Like, if Saturn is in Jupiter's third moon to the left, then it's a bad time to try to talk to that boy they like. Or if Venus and Mars aren't in sync, they'll have a screaming match with their boss. They believe this because some fraud with a newspaper column and a sky chart tells them so. Let me say this delicately. If you start to believe that the rise of Mercury can affect your head, then you've got your head up Uranus. Astrology, like tarot card readings and the psychic telephone hotline, is nonsense created to separate foolish people from their money and to give the weak-willed an excuse for their failings. I know, I'm being harsh. It's just that I want you to believe in yourself and not write your failures, or successes for that matter, off to some great cosmic power, whether you call that power fate or astrology or simply dumb luck. None of those things control your life. You do. The path of your life isn't forced upon you. Your fate is what you get to shape every day by what you choose to do or not do. I think what happens to so many people is that they become overwhelmed with those choices. They're so afraid of making a wrong choice about the direction of their life that they make no choice. And then they sit there paralyzed, trying to convince themselves that their unhappiness isn't their fault. It's fate's fault. One spring break, my college roomies and I got cheap airfare to a resort island near the equator. We brought sunscreen, a boombox, and Billy, one roommate's 19-year-old brother, who at the time was sort of between colleges. Billy was laid back and funny, and all of the girls we met on the island loved his whole bohemian act. His musical taste ran to hardcore party bands like The Dead and Santana, and his wardrobe was early thrift shop. He considered himself an artist, and though he was not yet a very good one, he kept telling anyone who would listen that he'd never sell out and paint for money. He was cool in every way that it's possible to be cool at the end of your teens, including the way he rejected both structure and authority. The boys wanted to hang out with him, the girls dug him, and I couldn't have been more jealous. He didn't much like me either, and went out of his way to poke fun at me whenever anyone else was around. At the time, I took that as inevitable. He saw me as uptight and felt the need to deflate me. Our mutual hostility boiled over a bit one night as a group of us walked along the beach, when someone looked up at the constellations and mentioned astrology. Billy believed in it, and I pounced. His argument had something to do with the staying power astrology has had, as if the fact that folks had believed in it for centuries made it true. I pointed out that the world has largely held women inferior for most of its history, and yet those of us on the beach that night considered ourselves enlightened on that score. That's called shamelessly playing to the audience. I'm not proud. He changed course and argued that I lacked the imagination to understand cosmic order, and I attacked him right back by saying that he lacked the intelligence to pick such nonsense apart. Of course, being boys, debate gave way to name-calling, each of us now sure that the other was a complete jerk. A few days later, Billy got into another argument, this time with a stranger, an American painter who now made his living selling his artwork to tourists at the various beach resorts. Billy made the mistake of doing his "I would never sell out my art by painting for money" routine in front of the guy, and the guy let him have it. In front of a bunch of well-off, basically selfish kids, the painter told Billy what a well-off, basically selfish kid he was, and how lofty pronouncements about selling out are usually made by those who've never had to lift a finger to keep themselves fed, or on Aruban vacations for that matter. Billy protested, mostly after the painter had left, that true art demands purity of motive, and so great artists are fated to be unsuccessful during their lifetimes. But we all knew he'd been made a fool of. Years later, I realized I shouldn't have been so gleeful when Billy got chewed out. I should have had a little compassion for him. In a way, Billy already saw himself as a failure, and was using fate in its many forms as a dodge for the things he didn't think he could accomplish. Not staying in school or finding a livelihood, it was his fate. He wasn't meant for those things. Not finding a paying gig as an artist, it wasn't his fault. He was just not going to compromise himself by becoming commercial. If he never found success with his painting, he seemed to say, it would merely prove the purity of his art. That's the way it goes for true artists. Can't fight fate.